Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Do that with an expectant and a servant's heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today we have special guests with us. I'm not going to say guests because this is family. Our overseers, Pastor BJ and Megan Dale, are in the building today, and they are going to be giving us the word. If you want to come up, I told Pastor Megan that I'm just going to wear waterproof mascara today because every time they show up, I cry. So get ready. God is getting ready to do something amazing.
Here's the thing, I always wear waterproof mascara when I come to Hope City because I know I'm gonna need it. So it's an all the time thing at Hope City. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, it's good to be here. It's a joy to be here. We're here to serve you, but it's a gift. We have four kids and they all wanted to come this morning, but we had five softball, baseball games in the last 2 days and drove hours between the games and whatnot. And we have church tonight, and we minister as a family. And I said, y'all stay home and sleep, because I don't want to deal with you after church tonight at 9 o'clock when we get home. Oh, your mic's not on. BJ presented it to them as a question. Would you like to come? And they were like, yeah, we do. And he's like, well, I'm sorry I said it like that, because actually you can't. So they wish they could be here. They love you all, and we love you. If we have not met you, we'd love to meet you after service. Please come introduce yourselves. We love Hope City. How many of you practice hearing God's word or voice? You're like, I know that I'm created to hear God, and I practice hearing his voice. Will you raise your hand for me? Thank you. I hate raising my hand in church, and I'm asking you to do it. Okay, so God's word, knowing God's word, helps us know, am I hearing God's voice? Is this what he's saying? And then we have to know how we're wired, how God speaks to us, to then understand how he talks to us in that way too. So you might see a picture, or you might hear a word, or something might just be highlighted for you, or it's like a sensing of like, I'm just sensing this, I have this sense. And those are ways that God speaks to us. And I encourage you all to practice that. And I'm going to practice this morning. I'm going to be brave, and I'm going to practice. And I'm going to share with a couple people that I feel like God has given me a picture for and showed me something. And here's the thing. If it doesn't hit for you, that's not you. It's me. Just because I have a microphone and a title does not mean that I'm right all the time. I'm practicing hearing God's voice every day at the grocery store, at home with my kids, here together this morning. And so there's a couple things. I know we don't have a ton of time, but I just want to share. So, Kelly, if this hits, great. If not, it's all me. I just saw the word despair. And like the enemy was trying to drown you in the sea of despair. Like the waves have wrecked you and knocked you, and you've been tossed to and fro like under the water. And I see you shoot up out of the water and like gasp for breath. And I see Jesus coming on a yellow life raft. And he was like, girl, I was never going to leave you in this sea of despair. I've seen you the whole time. And I see him pull you onto the life raft, cover you in a wool blanket, put his arm around you, and say, all right, let's get to safety. And he's taking you to safety in Jesus' name. You are not going to drown in the sea of despair. Also, sir, I don't know your name with the crosses on your shirt. Chris, nice to meet you. I'm Megan. And again, if this doesn't hit, it's not you, it's me. And so I just saw a picture of like a Coke bottle being shaken up, and you're like trying to keep the lid on it. Where you're like, oh, I can do it, Lord. I can do it. I'm going to keep lid on this. I'm not going to let it out. I'm not going to let it out. You're like, Lord, I'm holding it in. I can do it. And everything settles, and then it gets shaken up again. And you're like, God, I can do it. I can hold on it. And I just hear the Lord saying, let the cap off. Don't worry about the mess. I'll clean it up. So in his presence, you can let all of that out. And you don't have to worry about who's going to get messy and who's going to maybe get sticky or hurt by whatever comes out, because Jesus is there with you, and he's going to clean it up. And you were never meant to be like a shaken up Coke bottle just trying to hold things in. You are created to be a vessel of the Spirit of God, of living water. And so, God, I bless the work that you're doing, and I pray you'd fill him with the Spirit of God, and that he is created to be a vessel of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. And then, Danny. Hi. I just saw this picture of you jumping all in, and it created these waves, okay? And there's these people out on boats, and they're like, have you ever been on the lake? And you're like, where are these waves coming from? And so I see people taking note of the waves underneath them, and they look over, and they're like, oh, I think that's where they came from. And they're really curious about it. And you need to prepare yourself, because they're going to start paddling your way, and they're going to say, hey, what are these waves about? But you don't have to be afraid of it, because they're really curious, and they want to know, and they're going to jump in too, in Jesus' name. Okay.
All right, and then I'm going to get bold here. I was praying this morning, and just we were asking God, God, if you have any words, if you have anything, and I promise God, I said, my answer is yes. So I'm going to, this goes beyond anything I've ever done, but is there somebody here named Stephanie, but Stephanie is not your given, or is your given name, not necessarily what you go by right now. Stephanie is your given name. Okay. That's
okay. Maybe second service.
We try. Yeah.
That's
we try.
Good. Okay. Well, we are going to jump fully into the message now. Are you ready? That wasn't
yes.
even the message yet.
Here we go.
How many basketball fans do I have in here? A few? I know there's a few because I played in a March Madness bracket with Hope City People. And let me tell you what, at the beginning, I was doing so good. And I was so cocky about it. I was like at the top of the list. And I was like, does anybody need a clinic on how to pick teams? Because I'm available. Throwing BJ under the bus because he was at the bottom of the list. I mean, full on, so cocky. And I have to admit, at the end of it, I lost so bad. Dylan was up the top. I think Darren won the whole bracket.
I missed the deadline.
Yeah, BJ missed the deadline. He didn't even have teams picked. That's why he was at the bottom.
It wasn't because I had bad picks.
Right, yeah. He still didn't win the bracket at home, but that's okay. So basketball is in full swing. It's been the first round of playoffs this week. If you're a Blazers fan, good luck. Maybe you'll make it this year. But I want to share a story. How many of you remember in 2004, there was a lot of anticipation that summer? It was really tense and dramatic because what was going to happen with the Lakers' history? Kobe Bryant, the GOAT, you can disagree, that's fine. He was a free agent. And everyone thought, well, where is he going to go? Is he sticking with LA or is he going to go to the Clippers? And there was talk about that. He was considering it. LA Clippers felt like they're a second tier team. And you know what? Maybe they are. Sometimes it's good to just know your place. But they tried hard. They had meetings with him and he was like, I'm a Clipper. Whatever. I'm going to do it. But little did they know that behind the scenes, Jerry Buss was making a play. He was like, you're a Laker man, and you got to be a Laker. And so the day after Shaquille O'Neal got traded to the Miami Heat, it was announced at a press conference that Kobe Bryant signed a 7-year, $136 million contract to remain with the Los Angeles Lakers. Woo, we got some fans in here. And it started the Kobe-only era in L.A. So there were some fans that were devoted to the Lakers, but there were so many more that were like, the Black Mamba, he's my guy. Wherever he goes, I'm going. Whatever his colors are my colors. Now, maybe they had a preference of where he'd stay. They had a preference of how it would all pan out, but they were committed to him. He was going to show up and play ball, and they were going to find out what his agenda was and where he was going to do that. Okay, I'm about to make a connection to the Bible. It might be kind of loose, so please stick with me. Shake your head like, I'm with you. I'm sticking with you. So at the time of Jesus, all of Israel, so God's people, they're holding their breath, just like they were holding their breath, waiting to hear what Kobe was going to do. They're waiting for the announcement that God's kingdom has come, that he sent the Messiah, the king, to step on the scene. They're ready for the Messiah to announce he's arrived. They're ready for him to set them free from Roman oppression. Just like they got set free in Egypt, woo, they're ready for their God to do it again. And they're ready for him to turn everything around in their favor. They're ready for him to take their mission and put it to action. They had ideas of how the Messiah would show up, how he would announce his arrival, how he would be loyal to their team, right? These have been God's people all along. They were ready for him to overthrow the oppressors, to say, I'm king, and to put God's people in charge. And the thing is, he did it, but he didn't do it in the way people expected him to. He didn't do it by force and by might. He did it by faith and trust and obedience. Being fully God, yet fully man, he stepped on the scene and was empowered by the Holy Spirit to lead him and guide him in revealing the Father to all of mankind. That's your mission too. And so today we're going to talk about parables. And I know you've been talking about them because you've been working through Matthew. But parables, primarily, they're about the inauguration and the announcement that God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is now. He's on this scene. He's come near to seek and save the lost. And everybody is invited into this kingdom. And that's what the parable primarily is about. It's about Jesus. It's about him and the announcement of his kingdom that's come now. And so there are short stories that explained what Jesus was up to and helped people engage with it. So many people came along. They saw him heal people. They heard his teachings, his deep teachings that made their hearts burn and come alive. Have you ever felt that before, reading God's word? It's the same thing. People encountered Jesus and experienced his power. They were delivered from demonic oppression. Everybody saw this happen. And then he would use these parables to paint a picture for those with ears to hear and eyes to see to understand what he was doing. And so today, let us remember that the parable that we're going to dive into, it's about Jesus and his kingdom, which does affect us because we are part of his kingdom. So of course we're going to be influenced by it. It's the story of Jesus. It's not the story of us. We are invited in. We're not the main character. So let us be open to examine this parable together and say to God, what are you doing? Let me catch what you're at work doing. I want to be in on it. And remember, it's an upside down kingdom, right? The last are going to be first, okay? The lowest get raised to the top. So it's upside down the way that he works. Leadership is service, going low, giving your life for people. That's what it looks like to serve and to lead. And so today, are we humble enough to hear and to listen and to understand what God is saying? Am I going to be with his kingdom or am I going to be against it? So let's dive in. We're going to read out of Matthew 22. I'm going to get my Bible flipped the right way. I love hearing pages turn. So good. Okay, starting in verse 1, Matthew 22, verse 1, says, once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. So he's illustrating, this is what my kingdom is like. I'm announcing to you that this is what it looks like. You've got your preconceived ideas and thoughts, but listen to me. I'm telling you this is what it's like. It's like a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. Okay, who's the king, do you think? Shout it out. God is the king. And the son, he's throwing a wedding banquet for his son. Who's the son? Yes, Jesus. Jesus is the son. So he's throwing a wedding banquet for his son. That means his son is getting married. We see all through Scripture beautiful wedding imagery. Jesus is the son. The church is his bride. We are the church. So God is saying, my kingdom is like, my son has come to join himself with a people. That's what this is about. him joining himself to a people. So he sent his servants to summon those invited to the banquet. So the invite's already gone out. Like, this is wedding day. Okay, save the date is there. They've already got the invitation. They know it's coming. Well, today's the day. He sends the servants out and is like, the banquet is ready. The marriage is happening. But they didn't want to come. Again, he sent out other servants and said, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. He's giving them another chance. He's saying, I've laid it all out before you. I've given you everything I could. I've spared no expense. It's time. Come, come, come. But they paid no attention and went away, one to his own farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. They're saying, no, thank you. I reject the wedding that is happening, which is to reject his kingdom. It's to say, I no longer want to be part of this kingdom. I'm not okay with this. I'm going to go my own way. That's what they're saying in rejecting the invitation. The king was enraged, and he sent out his troops, killed those murderers, and burned down the city. That might seem harsh, but you can't have a divided kingdom. You can't have half the people going this way and half the people going that way. And let us remember, it's not their kingdom. They're choosing to be part of it. You don't get to dictate how it goes. You're not the king. Okay, so he's not going to allow his kingdom to be ripped in two because of people who are unwilling and are going to serve their own agenda. He will not do that. That's not good for them, and that's not good for anybody else. He says, I will tear your kingdom down. I will burn it to the ground, and it's for your good, and it's for my glory. This is a good thing. Then he told his servants, the banquet is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. They weren't worthy because they rejected it. Go then to where the roads exit the city and invite everyone you find to the banquet. So these servants went out on the roads and gathered everyone they found, both evil and good. From the perspective of the servant, both evil and good, they said, come along, you're invited. The wedding banquet was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed for a wedding. So he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him up hand and foot and throw him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's like sorrow. Like, he's chosen not to participate. He's going to be put in a place of sorrow to not be able to be part of the kingdom. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask humbly before you today that we would be the kind of people that hear your word, your parable, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see what you're doing, that we would not be resistant to your kingdom at work here in this house today, but we would work with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So as we're going to dive into just the meat of this parable real quick. First, as Megan mentioned, there people are on their seats, right? She talked about this as with Kobe. The Jews are on their seats. But first, when rabbis would start a parable, one thing we have to understand is when they would say, the kingdom is like, what that did to the Jews, what that did to Israel was they were ready. They were all attentive. They were ready because they knew how this would go. Rabbis would, Jesus wasn't the only one to teach in parables. Rabbis would teach in parables, but here's the way that they understood it. Israel was always the son. Israel was always the son. As they were coming up, Jews or the rabbis would speak it, and Israel was always the son. So when there was a parable, the king and his son, Israel was the chosen son. Israel was the one to be right there, and the banquet would be for them. There was something coming for them. And so Jesus had them on the edge of their seat because this always ended in victory. This always ended in victory for the Son and for Israel. Also, parables often used a king. They often used a king and often used a son. And this would depict, not only would it depict the relationship between God and Israel, but also they were often royal. It had to do, it would use a wedding, and it was often a royal wedding. What would happen is the king would send out his invitation, but oftentimes that invitation was for an entire city. So kings would sit, they would oversee a whole nation, but in the city from where they were, everybody would be invited. It would be a disgrace to the sun. It would be a disgrace to the sun if that wedding party was small. The more people, the better. The king had the greatest palace. They had the greatest living quarters. They had the greatest party quarters of all places. And to not fill it would mean disgrace on the sun. And so they didn't just send the invitation out to the few and to the elite. They sent it out to the entire city. Come flood the gates. But often what would happen was that the elites, there were three different people. As we can kind of see in this parable, there's three different people. There's the elites who are wealthy. They owned all the land. They owned everything, and they had their servants or the commoners who would work for them. But the elites, they had the luxurious time. They had the time of the luxury of time, and so they would show up to almost every party, wedding invitation, and they were the expected guests, or they were the ones that were anticipated. They brought the gifts, the highest dollar gifts. They brought the wealth in, and so the servants that are standing at the door, what would take place is guests would come, but first, you had your VIP guests, right? You had your VIPs. These are the ones that we know they're going to be bringing the best gifts to the sun. We know that they're going to be bringing what is highest dollar, what's going to bring more and more wealth into the kingdom into the king's kingdom. The idea was that the kingdom would be passed on son to son. It would stay in the bloodline the entire time. But so we're going to invite, we're going to accept in because there is a limit. There's a limit. There's a lot of space, but the entire city can't fit into the king's quarters. Okay, but we want to fill it up. So the first would come and the most elite would be let in right away. So commoners never, even though they received an invitation, they didn't usually respond to the announcement of the dinner. Because all that was going to mean was rejection. I come to the door and they're expecting rejection. So they would hold back. So this idea that Jesus, as he's telling this parable, this idea that his servants come out a second time, this is unheard of. The servants had the greater sacrifice to come. Dinners, wedding festivals, especially for a royal kingdom, would typically last at least 7 days. And a guest that showed up was expected to stay the entire time. And so it was a significant sacrifice of time. And for a commoner, that was a huge sacrifice because what that meant is leaving the field or leaving the marketplace where they would make their living wage to come and have the greatest honor to be at the king's party, to be at the son's wedding was the greatest honor, but I would never get to enter the gate. I might show up with the invitation, but it's already full. And I get left out. And so now I've taken a day off and given up a day's wages. I've sacrificed out and it didn't matter. And now I'm sent back to go work. And oftentimes the commoners, that they would save up. Like that would be the cost that they would give up to go would be a lot. You got to cover 7 days' wages to be able to even get there. So that being said, a third time, think about that. Not only does the king send servants once, for the announcement, sends out a second time, and he continues to be rejected. Continues to be rejected. And he's, go out to the streets, go out to the highways. Think about the servants here. What are the servants used to? They're used to going and letting the elites know first. That's the mindset of the servants. But he's like, no. The invitation has been for all. My invitation has been for all. It's not just for these. It's not just for. And here's the thing. This upside down kingdom, as Megan mentioned, Israel is looking. They're partnering. They're trying to partner with God to build their own kingdom. And they see Jesus come, and this can't be the way. This cannot be the way. This rubs them in the wrong way. So we reject, and now there's nobody coming. There's nobody coming, and the king says, go to the highways, go out to the streets. Go. The invitation is for all. So first he goes and burns the city, which is like it's significant for a complete ending. As Megan kind of mentioned, that's a complete cutting off. It was the last step of total destruction was to burn a city. And that's, I cut you off. I cut you out. But one thing we got to catch in this at the very end here. So all these people, they're like, okay, there's still room for me. There's still room. They start to flood in. It says that it was full. It was full. People start to flood in. What an honor this is for the people. This has never happened before. I've never gotten to enjoy. I've never gotten to enter the king's palace for this. And then there's one. We have the elites, we have the commoners, but there's one, and it says the king, they ask, how did you get in here? And why does it say? Why does it say, if we kind of look back at this, it says, they say, friend, how did you get here? When we look back, it says, one was not dressed for the wedding. Megan kind of mentioned this at the beginning. If a guest came, the king was always prepared. His desire wasn't to reject. And if a guest came, most people had wedding clothes. And it was a requirement to enter in. But if they didn't have it, if they were too poor, they didn't have the wedding clothes, clothes would be offered at the gate. The king was prepared to offer, here are the clothes, go change, and come on in. So this one guest, it wasn't that he didn't have it. He took the clothes, most likely. He took the clothes at the gate. Probably wouldn't have gotten in without them. But he took the clothes. He never made the change. Never made the change. Listen, as we're going to wrap up this morning, but I want to talk about those three perspectives, or those three people. I'm just skipping down my notes here real quick. We have the elites. These are people who have been a part of the kingdom. They've been living in the kingdom. But friends, tonight, or I keep saying, I say tonight.
We do night church. We do night church. Not morning church.
So we'll be taking off from here, going back up to Roseburg and having our service tonight. But this morning, you're here. And maybe you've been doing this for a long time. Maybe you are not new to church. Maybe you're not new to living among, I'm not going to say living in, living among God's kingdom. You come to church Sunday, maybe you've been doing it from the time you were real little. Maybe you call yourself a Christian, maybe you don't. Maybe that is a label you take on, maybe it's not. But your goal, what you see is, I'm going to announce the kingdom to the world. My plan is to announce the kingdom to the world, and it really has to do with our own kingdom. Listen, Israel Israel believed that the Messiah was coming to set their belief and their theology straight among the world that they lived in. They believed that the Messiah was coming to elevate them and the kingdom they were building, to tear down the Roman Empire, to tear down all that were oppressing them, to set the kingdom straight. Are you an elite? Are you humble? Are you humble in your mind and in your heart to say, God, what do you want to change in me? Two, are you a commoner? Are you one who has walked in the doors this morning? And maybe you have felt like, this is really hard to do. This is really hard to do because, not because it was hard to get up this morning, maybe that too, but this is really hard to do because you don't know what's inside. You look at my life and you don't know what's inside. I'm not worthy. Listen, the whole point of this parable is the king redefined worthless or worthy. What is worthy? You entered in this morning and you said, all I'm expecting when I walk in this door is for Jesus to hand me a rejection letter. That's what I'm expecting. This doesn't feel comfortable. It's not going to. It's not going to feel comfortable. This is new. But let me tell you, Jesus' kingdom wasn't built for the elites. It was built for those who would take the invitation, who would respond to the invitation. And that's not just an invitation to step into relationship with him. Let me tell you, it's an invitation to an everyday dying and choosing the way of the kingdom of heaven, the way that Jesus brought back, that he said, this is how it's meant to be. Israel, you've done it wrong. This is how my Father's kingdom works. It's upside down. Let me tell you, you're not rejected this morning. Even if you have come face to face with rejection this morning, I can tell you right now, the Spirit, God, he's reaching that invitation out. And he's saying, come close. Come close. Let me show you the way. Take my yoke upon you. Last, I want to speak to that last one as we close here. That one that came in, this one's a little more painful. He took the clothes at the gate. He wasn't dressed well. He comes in. This does not have to do with coming into church well, fashioned well, having all the right things, doing the right things. This has nothing to do with that. This is what it has to do with. It was well known what the expectation was. To be at a wedding and you're handed over the lifeline to be there. But you reject the position to make the change. Listen, there are many in here, I say many because I'm right there, and this convicted my heart. You are walking a line. We were sang a song this morning. I wrote it down. But drawing the line in the sand. I think the question is, have you drawn a line in the sand? Is there a line that you have drawn? I'm not talking about people behind you, people that have come before you, parents, leaders, people who have said, no, this is the right way to follow Jesus, and that's what you're regurgitating. Listen, from generation to generation, we get things wrong. And we are called to be a new generation that continues to push forward the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means that we see what we've done wrong in the past, and we listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and when we are called to repent, we do it. Repentance isn't, I'm sorry, Lord. Repentance is followed by I'm turning the other way. For some of you in here, God's been calling you to give something up. Maybe many things. You've walked in, you've been invited, you've received, you're received. And you're walking, but it's just too painful. There are things that you love. There are things that you love. And you're saying, I can't step away from that. In Revelation, it says, he's talking to the church of Laodicea. John is writing a letter, and it says, I have this against you. You are neither hot nor cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out. That's harsh language. But let me tell you, Jesus is not looking for someone to pretend church and live the world. Come on. Guys, we are the church. We are the church, and we are to be salt and light. We are to be flavor to our dying world that needs Jesus. And if we're not willing to repent, if we're not willing to change our behavior, to allow Holy Spirit to say, hey, I want that. Give it up so I can take you even further. Take it up so I can elevate your ministry, so I can elevate the name of my son, because you are not the son. Come on. You get to partner with the son to elevate the kingdom of God and to turn this world upside down. This morning, that's what we want to reflect on. If you are one of those three, I just want to pray with you. If you bow your heads, we're going to close. If any of that, if you are here this morning and you're like, man, I've been living like an elite. I've been looking around. I'm judging. I've been going from church to church because nothing is serving me well. I haven't found the right place that has made me feel good. Man, that's the heart of, it's a hard truth, but the heart of the elite is the God of me. If that's you this morning, you're like, man, I need to repent of that, and I need a change of heart. I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. No one's looking around. Yeah, thank you for your honesty. I genuinely am going to be praying. And we're going to pray right now. If maybe you're the commoner and you're like, man, I've stepped into this place and I don't know that God can take me. I don't know that I have a place. If that's you, if you could just slip up your hand for me. Okay. And last this morning, if you've been rejecting, not necessarily the Holy Spirit's invitation for you to be join the family of God. That's not it. But if you've been rejecting the change that he's calling you to continue to live a life, as Jesus put it, worthy of the kingdom of God. We don't earn our way, but he makes us worthy. And if we do not change our clothes, we are unworthy. If we're not willing to listen and say, your way, not mine. So if that's you this morning, if you could just lift your hand for me. I want to pray with you. Jesus, you see these hands that have gone up this morning. God, this is your kingdom, and we are called to partner with you to build your kingdom. God, we ask that your spirit would lead and guide. God, that you would convict, but God, you do it in such a loving way. God, there's not rejection on the other side. God, we ask for humility. God, as we look at our lives and go, what have I received? What has been passed down to me? What lines have I not drawn that I need to draw, not to declare my allegiance to this world of a kingdom, but rather to lead this world into a new kingdom of Jesus? God, but first we have to know and understand the ways of that kingdom. You did not call us to declare allegiance. You called us to follow you. And so, Jesus, as we commit to that this morning, for those who have said that, I need to commit to Jesus' way, not my own. God, I pray that you would empower them, that your spirit would give them grace to move forward. God, and as those convictions pop up, God, that repentance would be at the it would be our natural reaction. Repent. Yes, God, I hear you, and I'm turning. I'm leaving that behind. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hope City, it's been a joy to be with you today. If you feel like you fall in that category of I am a commoner and I don't know if Jesus accepts me, would you please meet me at the Next Steps booth? I'm going to be back there with some Hope City team members, and we would love the honor of praying with you and talking with you more about that. Have a beautiful Sunday. God bless you, Hope City.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.